would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 44, reading through verse 50. Matthew chapter 26, I encourage you to follow along in the Bible as we try to study God's holy word. Before we begin to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we know that we need thee every moment of our lives. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us, that it's in thee that we live and move and have our very being. We're thankful that we're able to feel thy presence with us this day. We thank you for blessing us in so many different ways already today. We know that thy word teaches that thou dost daily load us with benefits. And we know that there are some times that we forget, we don't even recognize, we don't see, and we don't acknowledge that we have so many blessings every day. We ask you to forgive us when we're unthankful. And we pray that you would help us, that you would open our eyes, that we might be able to see the bountiful blessings that we all have every day. We pray that thou would help us to think on the things that we should think about and not think about those things that would cause us to be discouraged or despondent or depressed. Thou would help us that we might center our affections on things above rather than on things of the earth. That you would help us that we would be, as we have just sung, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Onward Christian soldiers. Help us, Lord, to be the army of God. Help us to stand. Help us to earnestly contend for the faith. Help us to put on the whole armor of God that we would be able to stand. We do beg thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that thou art the great physician. We've seen your power, not only recorded in the word of God, but we've seen with our own eyes the power of God in being able to touch and heal and lift up. And we thank you for the miracles that we've seen in our own lives. We pray that you would touch and bless every person in this congregation this morning and each family that's represented. We pray that you would help those that have special burdens and problems, the unspoken prayer request, that you would be with them. You'd bless all those with cancer, that you as the great physician would touch their bodies and bless the work and the medicine and all that the doctors are doing, that it would be for their good, and that you would strengthen them and restore them to their health. Bless their families. Bless all the others who are sick and afflicted, those who have special burdens and problems. We do pray, Lord, that you would send rain upon the earth. We need help from thee. We cannot fix this problem. We pray that you would send the rain that we need to put out the fires. And we pray that you would remove the smoke from our area. We thank you for the good days that we've had recently, the rain that you have sent. We thank you for the days that we have not had smoke in our area. And we just ask you, Lord, to have mercy on us, that you would help us, that we might be relieved of the oppression of the fires and the drought, and that you would bless the firemen, that you would watch over and protect each of them. We're thankful that none of them have been killed. We're thankful that no lives have been lost in all the fires that have been going on. So continue to keep your protective hedge round about those that are experiencing great problems and troubles. Bless us now as we try to study thy holy word. Pray that you would bless us in our week of worship and recreation, that you would bless the trumpet of truth as it goes out, that it would be a blessing to your people. We thank you for all those that write and work and labor to cause the magazine to be able to be sent out. Thank you for all those that work in the distribution of the magazine. So bless us all now as we work again today in distributing that. Bless the radio ministry and the bus ministry and all that we try to do. Help us, Lord, that we would do it for thy name's honor and glory. Pray that you would bless all that we do individually and as a church. Just bless all of thy people the world over. As they're gathered together today to worship thee, we pray that you would bless every congregation and every minister to preach the word of God. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 44. This is the occasion where Jesus is praying just before his crucifixion. And the word of God talks about how fervently he prayed. You remember how he told his apostles, he told them to wait here, and he went further. He carried three of the apostles a little further with him, and then he went even further, and he's praying now in the middle of what we're going to begin reading, he's praying. This is the third time that he's praying that we're beginning to read about. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 44, the Word of God says, "And he left them, and he went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Verse 45 says, "Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Who is the one that was going to betray Jesus? Judas. All right? And that's what we're going to begin reading about now in verse 47. Verse 47 says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they, laid hands on Jesus, and took him." I want us to think this morning, and I pray that God will help us as we try to think about the words that Jesus spoke to Judas, that's recorded in verse 50, when the Word of God says that Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" That is, friend, why have you come? Why are you here? Are you really here to say, "Hail, Master"? Are you really... Now, Jesus knew the answer to the question. Everybody understands that. He's not asking the question because he doesn't know. But he says, "Why are you here? Are you really here to say, 'Hail, Master'? Are you really here to kiss me because you love me? Or are you here for some other reason?" Of course, we all know, and Jesus knew, that he was there for a different reason. And the thought that's on my heart this morning is, why are we here? Why are we in the house of God today? And I want us to hear Jesus asking us that question about not only why are we here, why are we in the house of God, but why are we going to Jesus on every occasion that we go to Jesus? You know, there are a lot of different times that Jesus tells us to come to Him, and we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, why do we go to Jesus? Why are we here in God's house? Why have we come to worship Him? Have we really come to worship Him today, or have we come for some other reason? Why are we here? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Now, let me go ahead and say this, because I want all of you to remember it. As far as coming to Jesus in a spiritual way, I'm not just talking about a person like these soldiers coming to Jesus, because there were many people that were around Jesus that were not children of God. But as far as going to Jesus in a spiritual way, I want you to remember that Jesus makes this statement. In John 6:44, Jesus says, "No man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Now I want you to remember that. There's a great principle of truth there. No man has ever gone to Jesus in a spiritual way. No man's ever gone to Jesus except the Father that sent Jesus here drew him to Jesus. If you've ever gone to Jesus because you wanted to worship Him, it's because the Father moved in your heart. The Word of God says it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when you do feel moved to go to the house of God to worship Jesus, I want you to always remember it's God that was working in you. It's Jesus that was leading you. It was the Father that was drawing you to come to Jesus. When you go to Jesus because you want to confess your sins, I want you to always remember that the Father was working in your heart and in your mind and your soul, because no man goes to Jesus. Jesus says, "No man cometh unto me except what? Except the Father which hath sent me draw him." So if you've ever been to Jesus in a spiritual way, You ever been to Him in prayer, if you've ever gone to worship Him, if you've ever gone to Him for a right purpose, if you've ever been moved to go to Jesus, it was God that drew you and called you and touched your heart to go to Jesus. Now, let me say this. Judas, we all know why he was there, don't we? So when Jesus says, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" I want us to understand that just as Judas came to Jesus for the wrong reason, there are times that we go in just as hypocritical a way as Jesus did right here. There are times that we go to Jesus for the wrong purpose. Now there are times, let me back up one more step, and say that there are times we don't even go to Jesus. Did you know that? There are times we ought to be going to Jesus. There are times that God calls us, there are times that Jesus calls us to come to Him, that we don't even go to Him at all. When Jesus came here into the earth, was He calling the Jews to come to Him? When He went out preaching, who was He preaching to? And who did He send His apostles to? They were all sent to the Jews. I'm talking about to God's people among the Jews. Did God call them? Could they have come to Jesus as He was calling them and teaching them and instructing them? Could the children of God among the Jews, could they have come to Him? Yes, they could have. So I want you to remember three things. First of all, sometimes we don't go to Jesus when we could go to Jesus. Sometimes we go to Jesus for the wrong purpose, and other times we go to Jesus for the right reason. And that's what I want us to pray that God will help us to focus on most of the time this morning is times that we go to Jesus for the right reason. Friend, what did Jesus say to Judas? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Why have you come? And we need to examine ourselves and see, why have you come? Why are we here? Back up just a moment. Back up to Matthew chapter 23. I want you to see that sometimes God's people could come, that they do not come to Jesus. Do you know one reason that we don't have many of the things that we really need in our lives is because we don't go to Jesus? The Word of God tells us, "Ye receive not because you ask not." We don't go to Jesus and ask Him for the things we need. So sometimes when we could go to Jesus, sometimes even when God has moved in our hearts and touched our hearts, did you know we can quench the Spirit and not go to Jesus? When we're having troubles and problems, we need to be going to Jesus because He's the one that can help us no matter what our troubles are. Friend, why are you come? Or, let me back up, friend, have you even been going to Jesus? Are you guilty of going to Jesus? Are you guilty of going to Jesus for the wrong purpose? Or are you guilty of not going to Jesus at all? So he says here in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to Jerusalem. Matthew 23 and verse 37, he talks about how Jerusalem, the Jews, the children of God among the Jews, how they could have come. You know, when Jesus came into the earth, John 1:11 says, He came. Who came there? Jesus came. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That is, He came to them, but did they turn around and come to Him then? No, they didn't come to Him. Could they have come to Him? Yes, they could have. Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus makes this statement, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings." What's the last phrase there? "And ye would not." What's God saying there? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I would have gathered the Jews together. I would have blessed the Jews. I would have blessed the children of God among the Jews. I would have gathered them together like a hen gathereth her little biddies together. And you would not. I called you to come, but you did not come. I called you to repent. Isn't that what Jesus called them to do repeatedly? As he went out, as He sent out John the Baptist, what's the first words of John the Baptist? First word John the Baptist preached was what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent out the 12 apostles and they were told to go and preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The point is, brethren, Jesus called the Jews and they would not come. And there have been times in my life, in your life, that God has called us, but we did not come. And we need to pray, God, forgive me for those times you have called me, and I would not come. I did not come. And then we need to pray, God, forgive me for those times that I have come, but I came just like Judas. I came for the wrong purpose. You know, many years ago, when I was a salesman, I learned that when I went to church, I made more sales than I did when I didn't go to church. I mean, it was without exception that when I made up excuses, and I would have a stomach ache, or I would have a headache, or I would have one ache after another. If I made up an excuse about why I couldn't be in God's house, you know what happened to me the next week? You know what happened to my sales? Down. Now, I believe it was God. The Word of God makes this statement that when we're babes in Christ, the Word of God teaches this. The Word of God teaches that when we're babes in Christ, God is so merciful and gracious to us, isn't He? And there are times that we do things wrong and do them for the wrong purpose. And I know that when I was going to church sometimes back then, I was going for the wrong purpose. But I had enough understanding to know that when I didn't do what was right, God would not bless me. I believed in God. I feared God. I loved God. But many times I went because I knew things would go better for me if I did what I ought to do. Now that's the wrong reason to go. That's a reason to go, but that's a self-serving reason to go. Have you ever gone to Jesus in a self-serving way? Isn't that really what Judas did? He went in a self-serving way. He went so that he could get something. He went and betrayed Christ so he could get those 30 pieces of silver. And sometimes we do that in our lives. We do things. We go to Jesus, but we do it for an ulterior motive. Now, you might not have ever done that, but there are times that I have done what was right because I wanted something from God. Have any of you ever said to God, whenever things were going bad, God, if you'll help me out of this mess, I'll do what's right. Well, that's what you're doing. You're going, and you're still doing what's right, but you're doing it for the wrong purpose. The motive is wrong. Now go with me. Let's think the rest of the time this morning about the statement, the question that Jesus asked Judas. He said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And I want us to think of a number of different ways, or a few ways, that the Word of God says that we can come to Jesus, and that when we do go to Jesus, if we go to Him, and we go to Him for the right purpose, that Jesus will bless us abundantly. And this is honoring to God. He calls us. He moves us. He pricks our heart to come to Jesus. For example, back up first of all to Matthew chapter 11. Look in your Bibles. At Matthew chapter 11, I want us to think about coming to Jesus in the right way and for the right purpose. Coming to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, the Word of God says that Jesus says, and has He called you to come? I mentioned this recently, but I want to mention again this morning. There are two callings primarily in the Word of God. One's a call from death unto life. And you don't make a decision on that call from death to life. You were dead in trespasses and sin, and God came to you and quickened you, and you were called from death unto life. That is an irresistible call. That's a call that God does, that you don't make a decision about whether you respond to that. You were dead, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You didn't decide to get born again. But now, after you're born again, God calls you. And as God calls you, He calls you for a number of different things. And here's one of the things Jesus is calling every one of you for. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me." Come unto who? Come unto me. Come to Jesus. Why are you come? I'll tell you one reason we need to come to Jesus. One reason I hope you've come this morning is because Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you ever needed that rest that only Jesus can give? Have you ever been so heavy laden and burdened and, and overloaded and had so many problems that you just felt like you were down in the valley and you didn't know what to do or which way to go. Well, what does Jesus say when you're like that? He says, come to me! You know, we go everywhere else, but we need to go to Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, that's a good reason to go to Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you what? Rest. You know, my body needs rest from time to time, but my soul needs rest also. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus says, when you're heavy laden, and listen, brethren, there are a lot of different kinds of being heavy laden. There's some of you in this congregation this morning, there are a lot of different kinds of troubles and problems in your lives. And whatever your troubles and whatever your problems are, I would encourage you to listen to what Jesus says. When Jesus says, friend, why are you come? I think it's wonderful when we go for the right purpose. We can look at Judas and talk about the wrong purposes, but we need to look also at the right purposes to come to Jesus. You remember there was a widow, there was a woman that came to Jesus one time that felt she was a great sinner. You remember that woman that came to Jesus and bowed down and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. I'll tell you, she came to Jesus because she was heavy laden. The weight of sin had her burden down. She felt she was an unworthy, ungodly sinner that did not deserve anything but eternal hell. You know what she did? She came to Jesus. Can you hear Jesus saying the same words, different meaning, same words to that woman that he said to Judas when he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? What would that woman's response have been? I've come because you're the only one who can forgive sin. I've come because I need some rest. I've come because I feel guilty because of sin. And so this woman could hear Jesus say, friend, wherefore art thou come? I'll tell you, that was a true friend of Jesus right there. That woman that was such a sinner, she was more of a friend, a true friend. Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 15. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Does Jesus tell us to bow down and confess our sins? Does Jesus tell us to repent of our sins? Had that woman done what Jesus told her to do? Did Jesus bless her because she came for the right reason? Did she find rest for her soul? Yes, she did. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to Jesus to ask Him to forgive you of your sins? Well, Jesus is well pleased with that. The Bible tells us that the very angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. When there's sin in your life and you go to Jesus and you find rest for your soul, you know Jesus is merciful and Jesus is gracious and Jesus does bless us to feel the relief and to feel the cleansing. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful privilege it is to go to Jesus and say, I've sinned. I've sinned. The prodigal son went to his father and said, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just let me be a servant. I'll tell you, that man went to his father in the right purpose, for the right purpose, in the right spirit. And that's the way we need to go to Jesus, is just like that prodigal son did. Fall down at his feet and say, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I come because I am a sinner and I need your help. I come because I am sinning and I need your help. I come because I can't do it by myself. What Brother Brian prayed in his prayer, without God, you know how many of you are going to go to Jesus in the spiritual way we're talking about? You know how many of you will go to Jesus if God doesn't draw you? Not a one. You know how many of you will go to Jesus if God doesn't give you the grace to go to Jesus? Not a one. It's all by the grace and the power and the majesty of God. But thank God we can go to Jesus to find rest for our souls. What's another reason we need to go to Jesus? I'll tell you another good reason to go to Jesus is when you have friends, when there are people that you love who need help. Is that a good reason to go to Jesus? Should we go to Jesus? Has Jesus taught us to come to Him when there are those that we love and we ourselves? When we have problems and troubles and burdens, when there are those who are sick, our prayer list is full of people who are sick. There are those that have all kinds of problems, not just physical problems, but emotional problems and financial problems and family problems and all kinds of problems. You know what they need to do? You know what we need to do? We need to carry them to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus with them. In John chapter 6, don't turn there. I want you to come right back to Matthew. But I want you to listen to John 6, verse 26. This scripture just came to my mind. I want you to listen. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." Now what does he mean there when he says you came not because of the miracles, but you came because you ate the loaves and were filled? What do you think he's saying? Somebody tell me, what do you think Jesus was saying there when he said, you didn't come because of my miraculous power. You didn't come because I'm God in the flesh. You came for the fish and the bread. Say it again. Yeah, they came for the natural blessings. Isn't that kind of what Judas did? He came for what? Came for material gain, didn't he? Don't we all do that sometimes? Now, when you're a babe in Christ, God might still bless you in that way. But I want you to know as you grow and as you mature, the Word of God says you better not keep coming just for the loaves and the fishes. That's the wrong reason. Don't come for natural blessings. You come for the spiritual blessings. You come because you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Go with me back now to Matthew. Listen to Matthew chapter 15. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, the Word of God makes this statement. We're talking about right ways to come to Jesus and right things to come to Jesus about. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, the Word of God says in Matthew 15, verse 30, "And great multitudes came unto Him." Isn't that wonderful? Great multitudes came unto Him. Why? Do you think that honored Jesus, that great multitudes came to Him? Yes, it did. Do you think God's pleased when great multitudes are in His house? Yes, He is. Great multitudes came unto Him, having with them. I want you to notice now, why did they come? I want you to hear the question. Friend, why are you come? If Jesus had asked every one of those people, friend, why are you here? Friend, why did you come? What would these people in Matthew 15:30 have said? They would have said, I'm here because I have this friend that has this problem. I'm here because I have this person that I love that needs help, and you're the only one that can provide that help. You know, the Word of God tells us about a woman who had tried going to all kinds of doctors, and she had spent all that she had, and then what did she finally do? She finally went to Jesus, and Jesus fixed her problem. You know, sometimes we're like that. We run to everybody else before we ever go to Jesus. We need to pray, help me to go to Jesus for the right purpose. So the Word of God says here in Matthew 15:30, "And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them." Isn't that part of what we're doing about those that have cancer and all the other different prayer lists? What are we doing? Every time that you pray, whether you pray here in the house of God or you're praying at your home, every time you're praying, you're taking them to Jesus. You're casting them at Jesus' feet because He's the only one who can heal them. And again, I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about all other kinds of problems. What does Jesus say? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Why are you here? Are you here this morning because you want to take some friends to Jesus? Is that a good reason to be here this morning? To take some friends to Jesus, yes, that's a good reason to go to Jesus. Is to take some friends, people that you love. And you need to go for your own self too, by the way, because the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Scripture says, "Let us come boldly." Let us what? Let us come. We're talking about coming to Jesus. "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy." Do I need mercy and you need mercy? Is that a good reason to go to Jesus? To ask for mercy? To obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. You want to come to Jesus? Here's a good reason. to obtain mercy for yourself and to find grace to help in time of need. Let me go to one other scripture talking about why we come to Jesus. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 22. Look at Matthew chapter 22, and this will be the last one I mention. Though there are many, many more wonderful, good reasons to go to Jesus, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 22 that the Word of God talks about the kingdom of heaven. And brethren, we need to come to Jesus so that we can enter into His kingdom. We need some heaven on earth. We need to be able to feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I need to go to Jesus. You know, the Word of God says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now in Matthew chapter 22, the Word of God says that Jesus, the Father, let me read in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Now what are all the parables about? Which heaven are they about? All the parables are about the kingdom of heaven. Not talking about dying and going to eternal heaven, talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, God called you, let me tell you, God called every one of you. If you're a child of God, He's called you to a wedding. He's called you to intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we're the bride of Christ. He's called us to the wedding. He's called us to make that commitment. He's called us to say, I want to be married to Jesus. I want to be a part of the wedding. I want to be a part of the intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. Why are you come today? Have you come because you want to be married to Jesus Christ? Have you come because you want to make a commitment that you want to be faithful to Christ and His church? If you've come for that reason, you've come for a good reason, because many would not come when the Father made a marriage for His Son. Many would not come. Now, they were called to come, but they didn't come. Many of God's children today are not coming to the marriage. Many of God's children today are missing the intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ that we need to have. Verse 4 says, after he talks about those that would not come, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Is that a good reason to come? Come to the marriage. Come down for the sake of time. Come down to verse 9. Talks about all those that made excuse about why they wouldn't come. Have you ever made an excuse about why you didn't come to Jesus? And let me tell you this. I have good friends that tell me I can worship God just as good outside the church as I can inside the church. That person is deceived by the devil. Deceived by the devil. God established His church in the earth for a purpose. And His church is different than any other religious organization in this world. The church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of Jesus Christ is precious to Jesus. There are many fair maidens in this world, but there's one that excels them all, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Tell them to come. Why are you come today? Why are you here? You want to be a part of the marriage? You want to be a part of the marriage? Verse 12 tells us now, and he said unto him, that is, there was a man that was found that didn't have on the wedding garment. Verse 12 says, and he said to him, Jesus said to this man that came, but he didn't have on a wedding garment. Now what does that mean, didn't have on a wedding garment? He was what? Okay. Got a lot of different answers. The thing is, he had not prepared himself to come to this marriage. There's some preparation that God does for me, but there's some preparation I have to do if I'm going to enter into the marriage with Jesus Christ. This man was going to be cast out of this wedding because he had not put on his wedding garment. There's a wedding garment God puts on me. In the final resurrection, there's a wedding garment I put on to enter the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And he says, I almost missed a word there. In verse 12, he said unto him, what did he say? What's the first word there? Friend. He's talking about grace. He's talking about mercy. He says, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, when we do come to Jesus, we better do everything we can to prepare ourselves to come to Him. Friend, why are you come? Why are you here? Wherefore art thou come? May God help us to go to Jesus. Don't ignore going to Jesus. And when you go to Jesus, be sure that you've done everything you can to prepare to meet your Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake.